The Apostle Paul wrote, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ in order to give an account of the things that we have done in our body, whether it be good or bad. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Without question, the most sobering thought of my life is that at some future time, I must appear before God and give to him an account of my stewardship. Basically, the day of judgment is a day when we will stand before God and give to God an account of our stewardship. Brethren, we are owners of nothing. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Psalm 24, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I don't read anywhere after that statement where he ever relinquished a foot of it. Brethren, God has entrusted us with many things. And we are responsible for the proper use of those things. We are not owners. We are stewards. And because of that, we will give an account to God of everything he's entrusted us with. You go to a public library, and back in the day, they give you a library card. And you could check out books with that card. You could take those books out of the library. You could take those books to school. You could take those books home. You could take those books wherever you wanted to. But those books don't belong to you. But you are responsible for the care, for the use, and for the return of those books. In exactly the same way, God allows you and I to check out many, many things. He has entrusted us with many, many things. But none of those things belong to us. And we are responsible for the proper care and use of everything that God has entrusted to us. Now, let me put your mind at ease. Whenever a preacher stands up and says that he's going to talk about stewardship, everybody in the pew says, well, he's going to talk about money. I'm not going to talk about money. Every time the preacher stands up and says, well, we're going to talk about stewardship, people in the pew say, well, he's going to talk about talent, or he's going to talk about our time. Because, brethren, we will give an account someday to God for every dollar he has given to us. And we will give an account someday for the talent and the ability that he has entrusted in us. And one day we will give an account of the time that God has allowed us to live on the face of this earth. But I'm not talking about any of those things. This morning, for many of you, we're going to enter into a new arena. This morning, I'm going to talk about the stewardship of information. Listen, you are a steward of what you know. You are a steward of every truth that you learn. You are a steward of every piece of gossip you hear. Listen, you are a steward of what you do with what you know. So that begs the question, exactly what can we do with the knowledge we have? What can we do with what we know? There's only three things you can do with it. Only three. Number one, you can take what you know and pass it on to someone else. You can pass it on to others. The second thing you can do with what you know is that you can just hold on to it. I'm not going to tell any. I'm just going to keep it to myself. Or the third thing you can do is you can take what you know and you can use it in your life to make your life or the life of others better. But that's all you can do. You can pass it, you can hold it, or you can use it. You can pass it, you can hold it, or you can use it. That's all you can do with what you know. Now let's examine these. Number one, you can pass it on. In the stewardship of information, you can pass it on. Now, I want you to take Bible in hand, and we're going to go to two places. First, turn with me to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. We're going to read verse 4 and verse 5. Titus 2, verse 4. Verse 4. Then they, pause. Who is they? Well, let's go back up to verse 3 and get they. Verse 3. Likewise, teach the older women, pause. The they in verse 4 is referring to the older women in verse 3. Now look at verse 4. Likewise, the older women can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husband so that no one will malign the word of God. So here Paul says, follow me, Paul says that the older women are to teach the younger women. Why? Because the older women have already been where the younger women have not gone yet. The older women have already experienced what the younger women have yet to experience in their lives. But that's not all. The older women are to teach the younger women because someday, those younger women will become older women themselves, and then they are to pass on to the next generation what they were taught by the previous generation. So the older women teach the younger women. The younger women become older women, and then they, as older women, teach the younger women. You see what's happening? You just pass it on. You pass it on. This is what I learned from the previous generation. So now I'm going to teach it to the next generation. You pass it on. You learn. You gain knowledge. You know this, so you pass it on. Turn back probably one page in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Now, an aged apostle Paul is writing to a middle-aged Timothy. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. Paul says, look, Timothy, I have taught you. Now you take the knowledge that I've given you and you find reliable, faithful men and you teach to them the knowledge that I taught you. And in teaching those other men, you also teach them that they are then to go, they are to find other reliable men and they are to teach them what you taught them, what I taught you. Bless God, I said that. But do you understand? You're passing it on. You're passing it on. This is knowledge I've gained. Now I'm passing it on. Preacher, what in the world are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. There are things that you and I have knowledge of that we're supposed to pass on to other people. Now, what are some of these things? What are things that I have knowledge of that I ought to pass on? Let me give you two examples. Number one, the gospel. The gospel. Brethren, God has made us stewards of the gospel. In Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15, Jesus said, go and preach to all nations. Let me tell you how that is translated. How that is translated, go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. How that's translated, Jesus said, as you are going, you take the gospel. So wherever your world takes you, if your world takes you to a factory or to a classroom, or if your world takes you to an office or a boat, wherever your world takes you, as you go, you take the gospel with you. In Matthew's account of it, in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Listen, God has made you and I stewards of the message that the whole world needs to hear. The gospel is something you possess that you need to pass on to others. Because we have that knowledge of it. Let me illustrate. Suppose someone was drowning on a beach. If a small child saw this person drowning, that small child would simply panic. But if a trained lifeguard saw this person drowning, that lifeguard would have a responsibility. Why? because the trained lifeguard would know what to do. In exactly the same way, brethren, we know the gospel. We have knowledge of the truth. And certainly we must all understand that with knowledge comes responsibility. Jesus said, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." Luke 12, verse 48. So I have knowledge of the gospel. God has made you and I a steward of the gospel. We're not owners, we're stewards. So that means I have a responsibility before God to pass that on. But there's a second area where we need to pass on our knowledge. And it's the area that I'm going to call behavioral training. Now, that's what's going on in Titus 2. Behavioral training. Teach the young women, the young wives, how to love their husband. Teach them how to love their children. Teach them how they are to behave as they ought to behave as Christian wives and Christian mothers. This is behavioral training that's going on. Now, this is just me. This is me. But from my viewpoint, there is a whole lot of people who have no idea how to behave in public. None. It's almost like they wake up in the morning and say, "Now, where can I go to be a hassle to somebody? Sit still. I'm just getting started right here." If you have a child, teach the child to behave. This boggles my mind because of my own upbringing. This boggles my mind. I'm in a store the other day, and this kid is going, little kid, going up the aisle and just taking stuff off the shelf and putting it in the floor. Just pulling it off and throwing it down. There are like 20 things laying in the floor, and the mother is standing there videotaping this kid do this. And I'm thinking, before anybody grabs that kid by the ears, somebody ought to grab that mama by the ears and shake her. Now, I'm going to tell you right here's where I got all this from. I was raised by a mother and a father who were older in their life when I came around. When I was born, my mother was 44, about to turn 45. When I was born, 4 months after I was born, my dad turned 50. And at 45 and 50, my mother and father had all the foolishness they were ever going to take from a child. My mother called things by their real name. What everybody else said, "Well, I slipped up or I made a mistake," my mama called it, "No, you sinned." What people called exaggeration, my mama called, "You told a lie." What people called outer darkness, my mama called, "Going to hell." and what everybody else call corrective disciplinary action, my mama call beat the devil out of him. Be still. My father was born in 1906, just after Cliff Russell. My father be 120 years old. Can you believe that? 120? My father told me and his brother once. Some of you are not going to understand this at all, because you know nothing about this. But my father told my brother and myself, the worst discipline that he ever received from his mother, my grandmother, the worst discipline he said my mother ever gave me is that I told her one time to wait a minute. Now, that'll just stun some of you. He said, I've never forget that. He said, she hollered for me, and he said, I didn't say nothing. And he said, then she hollered for me again, and he said, I looked up and said, Mama, wait a minute. He said, I told my mama to wait a minute. And then he said, the end came. And my grandmother jumped him. And he said, when she got through, he said, she set me down very calmly, and she said, listen to me, son. If I wanted you to wait a minute, I'd have waited a minute before I asked you to come to me. Now, give me a moment to myself here. Because the thought of my grandmother laying the smack down on my dad does my heart more good than you could ever imagine. The beatings that he put on me, Granny Foxy, get it. Now I'm gonna tell you something else, because you know we ain't getting out on time anyway. I'm going to tell you something else. That's how my dad was raised. So when my dad became grown and old, if you were a child and if you were around my dad, you behaved yourself. The fact that you were his kid or wasn't his kid had nothing to do with it. If you were around my father and you were a child, you behaved. Now, this would get him arrested today. In the basement of the old Eastside Central Church of Christ, the basement. Uncle Willie, you've been in the basement. Judge, you've been in the basement. There were three little girls who were running around the basement of the church building just screaming after church. Just like they didn't have any sense at all. Just running around the basement and just screaming. And one of the girls came to me like years later and told me the story. She says, your dad stood at the top of the steps leading down to that basement. And he said, what is going on down there? And them three girls came up there. This girl told me So help me God. This girl told me, my dad went just like this. I will take my belt off right now, and I'm coming down there. Now, I know that the girl who told me that, is every word she said was the truth, because that little girl's sitting right over there, and I'm married. And the reason she married me is because she was terrified of my father. After service, ask her about that in the basement. Ask her about that. And ask her what she did after that. After that, as a child, when some kids were running, she'd go, no, y'all shouldn't run in church building. Y'all should run in church building. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Listen. There is knowledge that we have that we're supposed to pass on. There are things that you have learned. There are things that you know from the previous generation that you're supposed to pass on to the next generation. And let me say this, I'm going to move on. But let me say this to you old heads out there. Listen to me. I don't know who your grandmother was. I've never seen your grandmother, but I'll guarantee you your grandmother or granny or whatever you called her, she would not for a moment put up with the foolishness from a kid that people put up with today. Big Mama would be on it. What can you do with what you know? You can pass it on. Listen, I am responsible. You are responsible as Christians to pass on some things to other people. Number two, what is the stewardship of information? What can you do with what you know? Number two, you can hold on to it. You can hold on to it. Now listen carefully to me. Just as there are certain things that we need to pass on, there are other things that we need to hold on to and never open our mouths about. The Bible talks about those who are busybodies. The Bible speaks about those who are talebearers. The Bible talks about those who are gossips. And there are a certain percentage of people who would much rather come to you and tell you bad about somebody else than to tell you something good about somebody else. There are things that we need to hold on to. There are things you know you should never tell. In Psalm 141 and in verse 3, the Bible says, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Let me tell you something about that verse. David wrote Psalm 141. And in that verse, David is praying to God. And in his prayer to God, David says, "Look, dear Lord, keep a guard over my mouth and watch the door of my lips." You're not supposed to say everything you think. And some things are better left unsaid forever. Terry McGill was an English professor at the University of Arizona. He was late for class, so he's speeding to the university, and the policeman pulls him over. And so the English professor starts pleading with the police officer. Listen, I got to teach an English class, and I'm late, and this happened and that. And so the policeman had pity on him. And he tapped the top of the car, and he said, listen, slow down and drive safe. And as the policeman turned and walked away, Mr. Professor said out of his window, you mean drive safely. And the police said, excuse me? He said, you said slow down and drive safe, but you should have said slow down and drive safely. So the policeman walked back to his car and handed him a speeding ticket for $150. You don't have to say everything you know. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. You need to write this down if you don't know this. He who talks to you today about another will talk to another tomorrow about you. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is listing the sins of the pagans, the Gentiles. That list is unbelievable. God haters, murderers, the worst group of people you could ever imagine in your life. And right in the middle of that list of some of the most despicable things on the face of this earth, right in the middle of that list, Paul says, the gossiper. Or the whisperer. Let me tell you something about them folks. Them folks have killed more people than all the Saturday night specials combined. Armed with cell phone in hand, they've broken up more homes than harlots have. They've diseased more people than germs. They've crucified more people than the Roman soldiers. And these folks, their eyesight is so well, they can see more through the keyhole of a door than the rest of us could see with the door wide open. And the only thing that succeeds their eyesight is their hearing, because they've actually heard conversations that have never taken place. What's wrong? These people have not learned that God has made them a steward of what they know. And these people have not learned that one day they will give an account of that. Listen, there are things we need to pass on, but then there are things that we need to hold. Number three. What can I do with what I know? I can pass it on. I can hold on to it. And the only other thing you can do is you can use it. You can use it. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, look what the Bible says. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Just 1 minute. I want you to look at that verse. Each of us have received a gift. Each of us. The purpose of receiving that gift was to serve others. And the one who has given us that gift is God. And whatever ability that God has given you, you don't own that. You are a steward of it, and one day you will give an account to God, the owner of it, of what you have done with it. Now let me say this and we're done. What can you do with what you know. You can pass it on. Share it with somebody else. You can hold on to it, never tell it. Or you can use it to help self and others. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. Most of the problems that we have at home, most of the problems that we have at the church house, most of the problems we have at the job is because of the wrong use of our knowledge. We are holding on to the things that we ought to be passing on. And we are passing on the things that we ought to be holding on to. And we are wasting the things that we ought to use. We hold on to the gospel. No, that's what you pass on. We pass on gossip. No, that's what you're supposed to hold. In the ancient Olympics, the runners would run with a lit torch. The purpose wasn't just to run well. The purpose was to pass on that torch to the next runner without the flame going out. Brethren, God has given to us the flame of His Word. The purpose of the Christian life is not just for us to run well in this life, but it is up to us to faithfully pass on this knowledge to other people. The most sobering thought of my life is that sometime in the future, I'm going to stand before God and give an account of my stewardship to Him. And on that day, God isn't simply going to ask you, what did you believe? God is going to ask you, what did you do with what you believe? If you have knowledge of the gospel and haven't obeyed it, you need to obey it. If you have knowledge of the gospel and know it, you need to share it. If brother or sister Flapjaw come to you to tell you something about somebody else, try to stop them. And if they get it out, then don't tell it. The stewardship of information. We are all responsible. If you need to come, do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.